If you want to see more companies make things in America, consider buying more things from companies who are already doing that very thing. Companies like American Giant. These guys have been making t-shirts, sweatshirts, flannels, and blue jeans in America for the last 14 years, with cotton grown right here in the USA. That means good jobs for lots of hardworking Americans in factory towns all over the country. Check out their stuff in stores everywhere, or pick up something awesome at American-Giant.com.
231. That's the average number of apps used by many companies. This leads to a lot of context switching that can distract employees and costs your company. Luckily, Grammarly can help. Grammarly's AI works in over 500,000 apps and websites, making it easy for your team to crank out clear, on-brand emails, documents, messages, and more. In just one click, they can go from blank page to first draft, all without leaving the page they're on. Grammarly has 15 years of experience building effective, secure AI that can be implemented in days with minimal IT overhead. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences, whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon. Join 70,000 teams who save an average of $5,000 per employee per year using Grammarly. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise Ready AI.
Hey everyone, it's the Death Lineup with a special guest here. Brian is actually out of town. He's at his stepsister's wedding. So I just dialed it up. I said, either we go with Ben Cruz or we're going dark this week. Ben Cruz answered the call. What is up, my friend?
Double G, how's it going? How could Brian leave at a time like this?
I know.
If the Warriors lose to the Grizzlies, it's all on him. Can we just put that out there?
Yeah, and he still hasn't even watched the Clay game yet.
Oh.
He told me today, he says, I'm still on the Cavs game. And I said, fast forward, like skip that one.
He right should burn that game tape like Steve Kerr probably did. What is he doing over there? Watching, grinding Cavs, the Cavs game tape is a little psychotic. You might need to talk to your guy.
The reason is, though, I think like a lot of people, he really likes that Cavs team.
What's not to like? Literally, no flaws. If you're just looking at the record, no flaws.
So as is the case sometimes, like sometimes I'll have a thought and I don't realize that it was a take from like a day or two ago and everyone is saying it. But when I watched that game, I was like, a little 2015 Warriors-y, but I'm not sure who Steph is. That's the problem.
It's by probably Garland, just because of his proximity and relationship to Steph, but he's been playing really well this season. Donovan Mitchell's also he's nice, man.
Like, yeah, he got locked in because he couldn't really go anywhere else, but it's like the perfect place, I think.
I mean, you know, Kenny Atkinson has also done some incredible things over there. What's wild about the Cavs is it's essentially the same team.
Yeah.
Right. The same lineup, same players. And Kenny Atkinson is the difference here, literally. So, you know, he's obviously coming from the Kerr tree, if you will, and previously his own success as a head coach. But man, that dude is making a difference. It's wild to see. It really is.
We'll get back to kind of around the league, but I do want to hit up some Warriors stuff because the Warriors are also one of the talks of the NBA. Let's hit the talking points in Warriors.
Yeah.
Okay. Usually Brian and I hit three Warriors-y things in the first segment of every Death Lineup show. So the first one has got to be Clay's return to Oracle. He seemed a little salty, I would say.
A little? You're being generous here, Double G.
You know what, though? With him being kind of salty, it actually made me okay with, like, the whole thing. Because I was like, well, what am I going to feel? Like, I've been rooting for this dude since 2011, almost to the point of where your, like, heart goes out to him over these last couple years when he's struggling. But him being like, I've moved on, I guess he was ghosting Steph over the summer. Like, I was like, okay, like, this is perfect because now I'm ready. I'm ready for the Warriors to win that game. And it was he hit some backbreaking threes, but he also missed some that I was like, okay, I remember that these last couple of years. But what were your feelings like during the game last night?
Man, it was a roller coaster for sure. Going in, I was pretty anti Klay Thompson, and I say all that to say, going in the offseason when he decided to leave, I totally got it. Right, it was just there are times where you just outgrow, you know, where you've been, and he's been in a relationship with the Warriors for 13 years. They outgrew each other. They were just going down different paths, right? It wasn't really anyone's fault. And the lead up to the game was just a little bit weird because I think, look, maybe he's changed, maybe he's evolved. And I think we've just grown up with him and kind of always saw him as this quirky dude who, you know, he just loves to play with his dog. He's easygoing. He may enjoy a recreational plant that you light on fire from time to time. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And the lead up to the game was when someone asked him how he was feeling about going back to Chase or playing against the Warriors. And he said, it's just another game in November. It just felt so inauthentic to me. That's just not the Klay that we're used to.
Yeah.
Right. It didn't have to be a quirky answer. It didn't have to be a quippy answer or a funny answer even that, but to say that it doesn't mean anything to you is, as someone who watched his entire career and will continue to watch his entire career, it felt so inauthentic where it just got to the point where it was like, what are we doing here, man? It's almost like you see a good friend who's just lying to somebody else about something and you're like, why are you lying about this? It's so unnecessary, right?
I thought Dre had the best comment at the press conference. Like, Dre's like holding court at these post-game press conferences. Yeah. So they had talked about the video, and he said, well, I watched the video before because when I was mm-hmm. on the court, I didn't want those emotions to be there when I was playing. And he said, you know, because I'm in those videos too. Like, I would be thinking of when Klay did this, this is where I was and what I was feeling. And he said, so I watched it before. I didn't want to have that. And I wanted Klay to be, that was his moment. So those were his emotions. I wanted him to feel that way before the game started, not me, so that I could focus on the game. And, you know, I don't know how Klay could have played that other than maybe been a little bit more, I guess, joking or a little bit more of a personality, sense of humor. And then, you know, also kind of played it off a little bit and just like, oh, yeah. It's just another game, ha ha ha, you know, but I'll be ready, blah, whatever he could have said. Him being so stern and so matter of fact, and like you said, it felt like he wasn't being authentic. That's where I was like, okay, he's already in his own head. We've seen this since the return back from his injury where he kind of gets in his own head, and then he has a talk with Steve Kerr, and he comes out of that talk saying, yeah, Steve kind of let me know that, you know, my emotions can kind of get the best of me. It's like, yeah, dude, like, no kidding. Like, we watch it on, we watched you drape a towel over your head before your comeback because that's how badly you wanted to be on the court. And so I don't even put any of that. Like, that's just Klay. But we, as fans of his, we kind of sensed it. Like, I sensed it. I was like, okay, he's going to come out and he's going to shoot well. I thought he was going to shoot well. But at the same time, I knew he was going to be dealing with those emotions on the court. And, you know, to his credit, there were a couple wild shots, but I thought he locked in pretty well. Now, defensively, you know, he's not, I don't know. I don't even know who they put him on, but like that's really, if you want to circle the thing where you're like, okay, he is not the same player anywhere near from his prime. Like, that's where you circle. But I thought he played pretty well.
He was fine, and he's been fine this entire season, right? Obviously, 11 games, small sample size. But if you look at his averages this year, it's kind of similar to who he was last year. Mm-hmm. The only difference is the jersey, right?
And Luka's usage, really, because that's also the other part.
And, like, what's, man, I guess I'll take this in two parts, which is the first part is what I was just talking about there, which is, again, his role seems pretty similar to what he would have been if he stayed with the Warriors, right? Probably the third scorer. He's, I think in his mind, if he was going to stay with the Warriors, he was thinking, if I'm not the second scorer, I don't want to be here. Right. And that's just a lot of baggage, right? That's 13 years, four championships, one, two, five all-star appearances, right? Like he's still living as that version of Klay Thompson when, as you said, he's just a diminished version. And mm-hmm. and that's okay to say. He suffered two catastrophic leg injuries in back-to-back years. And when he came back, they still won a championship. Like it's totally fine to admit that you were just not the exact same player, but he refused to kind of do that with the Warriors. Now with the Mavs, you know, he's preaching all this, you know, new start, this, that, and the third. In reality, kind of the same, right? Yeah,
he's not a little worse. He's probably the same, and he's maybe even going to be a little bit more frantic with the shot, because what the Warriors did last year was, they were like, okay, we got to get Klay going immediately from Jump Street, because we have to know what version of Klay we're going to get. So let's get him going.
And
Luka's not interested in that. Luka's interested in playing Luka style, which is to the benefit of Dallas. But that's the part where I think some of Klay's shot selection may be a little bit more frantic, because he's not, they're not trying to get him going like the Warriors were.
1,000%. And that was part of the problem with last year, right? And to an extent the year before, where there was this appeasement that needed to happen of Klay Thompson. Because again, he still felt like he was all-star Klay Thompson. He still felt like he was elite, you know, first team all defense type Klay Thompson. I think this is what Steph had this quote very early on in the season. This season, where he was talking about how the reason why the Warriors are playing so free and there's just a fluidity to what they're doing both on offense and defense is because he said it as, you know, there's no ego, right? And that was a not so veiled shot at Klay Thompson. Like as we've progressed through the season, especially last night's game against the Mavericks, there's something there with Steph and Klay. Right. It's not quite when KD left the Thunder to come to the Warriors and his relationship with Russ.
Yeah,
it's,
they were
it's
like
not quite there
hating each other.
Right. But even when they would dap each other up, right, or when they gave each other a hug at the beginning and end of the game, there's this distance. You can just sense it. Right. And we can talk about the tribute video all we want, the Captain Klay hats that are selling for an exorbitant amount on eBay right now.
Bucks.
Yeah. But Steph being this jacked that he hit that shot over Derek Lively in a game in November, that wasn't because they were 1-0 in the NBA Cup.
Yeah.
Like, let's just call it what it is. It's because that was him kind of shutting up Klay Thompson.
Yeah, we're welcoming you with open arms back home, but it's also my house. It's like,
and it is. And this whole thing is based around him.
Do you know what's going? Steph is also going to get up for a game against Kyrie. I think he looks at Kyrie. Sure. As somebody who is maybe not quite an equal, but maybe in his eyes, he sees Kyrie as an equal to get jazzed up. And
there's a lot of comparison there. Like, who has the best hand on the NBA? Right. It's always those guys in the conversation.
And 2016. He's always going to remember that. Mm-hmm. And then also, Luka has kind of been crowned unofficially as the best player in the NBA. And so Steph has the Olympics moment, and Steph comes out in this game, and he's like, okay, here's the crowned best player in the league. And then Steph outplayed him, like, very, like, not even look, Luka's gonna get his points because he's such an efficient scorer, and sometimes, you know, he'll take some wild shots like that three to end the game, where I was like, how did Kid not have something dialed up to get Klay to take the final? Like, that was like a poetic moment. But no, Luka chucking from, you know, the top of the key.
Shout Andrew Wiggins, though, as much as Luka got his last night, when it came down to it, Wiggins was playing good defense.
Oh, no. He was in him. He was in him. And, yeah. You know,
he was in his chest.
If Wiggins could just jump right now, he'd be back to 2022 Wiggins, right? Like, you're the one, I think, who even made the comment in a text. You're like, this guy can't even get up. And then I started watching it, and he's being very careful with his jumping, for sure.
The way that he even lays up the ball, like on fast break, or even dunks on fast breaks, he's barely getting up. It's a little alarming where whenever he shows up on the injury report, right, that he has a lower back issue, you're like, yeah, I could see it. It looks like me trying to jump up there. Right? Kuminga, who's just leaping from the free throw line with ease. You know,
I almost wonder if Wiggins is just going to be questionable for a lot of the games where it's just
the rest of the year.
I mean, you know, how does he feel? But even that being said, maybe it's also an opportunity to give him some days off, because as we know, he's had pretty rough roller coaster of emotions for the last couple years. So maybe that's a way. But also, I wonder if he kind of, you know, how like when you get in an automobile accident, even if you're fine, it's still like that car crash where you get the whiplash, or you get that, because he had that car crash with Chet the other night, and Chet, you know, is going to be out for many months.
Eight,
so that was rough. But I wonder if Wiggins also took a little bit of a brunt, because that was a hit. Like, they both collided.
Mid-air collision, yeah.
So a couple of other things, then we'll move on to the next segment. But I was thinking about this. We've been talking about who's the second scorer. And Marcus Thompson likes to say, who's going to get the two? You know, who's going to get the hard two when they need two? You know, the one difference between Clay and Buddy Hield is Buddy Hield can go get a bucket at the rim when he needs to. And I did not see that coming. I did not realize how good of an actual scorer, rather than just a shooter, Buddy Hield is. And he's big and he's strong. Now, the reason why he's going to be off the court sometimes is because of defense. But there were moments last night where I was like, ah, God, offense is struggling. And they chased Buddy Hield off the three-point line. And then he went in and got a two. Or on the fast break, I'm like thinking like, oh, man, who's going to try and, you know, do something here? And like Buddy Hield's just flying to the rim, scoop layup with his lefty. Like, from that perspective of, outside of Steph, who your scorers are, you got Buddy, you got JK. Wiggins is so inconsistent, I don't even really want to think of him that way. Pods has been off to just a terrible start.
Yeah, he's off.
A really bad start. I know, you know, D'Anthony Melton is aggressive. I don't know if he's going to be efficient enough, but like, who are you most confident in like getting a bucket when they need a bucket?
I mean, it's weird for me to say this, and you could probably attest to this just because of all the texts I've sent in our group text about this, but it's probably Kuminga, right? Because he's the only one who can consistently get downhill in the open court, in the half court, and that at least gives him options for scoring, right? Obviously, his three-point shot has improved a little bit this year. You can see that clearly, you know, the off-season work that he's been putting in has been a little bit coming to fruition. But again, he can get to the rim whenever he wants, and he can, at least at the very least, he'll put up a really terrible fadeaway that's sometimes, for some reason, bounces in. You know what I mean?
Fadeaway is like become a go-to shot for him. He has
it's a move,
and if it hits the front rim softly, it has a really good chance of going in.
Yeah, and so he's the, you know, the Buddy Hield thing is going to be fun. It's also going to be an experience.
He's going to have really off nights that we haven't seen.
Like last night, he was fine, right? It wasn't like the first, you know, 10 games where this dude just, he was shooting 50% from three, literally could not miss, was doing some weird Steph impression when Steph was out, where you just like, oh, he's just hitting these. This is not this. We all knew it wasn't sustainable. And we all know with Buddy, his career has been a roller coaster, right? Every team that he's been on, he has these hot streaks, and then he'll cool. He couldn't play for the Sixers. He was pulled from that rotation the minute he stopped being able to shoot well. And he's going to get all the shots he wants here with the Warriors. But again, that consistency, I think, is not going to be there as much as they want. It's going to be Kuminga. Now, you know, he's a restricted free agent coming up this offseason. If the Warriors, the word out on the Warriors is, you know, this whole depth thing isn't going to last. And at some point, they're going to have to make a decision and probably trade a bunch of these guys for, you know, a bigger piece. Is Kuminga going to be part of that? If it's for someone who can get you and be Steph's legitimate second scorer, sure, you do that. But in the meantime, while they're figuring this out, it's Kuminga, man. It's just because he's the only one who really has all the tools to be able to do it. And that's really tough to say, because there are times where even on offense, you're just wondering, like, what the hell are you doing? Right. He still has like that youth about him where you don't know if it's sustainable that he can be the Warriors' second scorer, if, you know, depending on what ceiling you think the Warriors have. So it is him. Is there anyone else do you think it's Buddy? Is there anyone else that you have in mind?
Buddy's not going to play those clutch minutes enough, but I do have confidence way more than I thought I would with him actually creating his own shot.
Sure.
It's been actually a surprise to see. And you just take him for granted because he's such a good shooter, and you go back to his college days and he was this ultimate scorer.
Yep.
But I like the thing on Kuminga, and I do, they have shown at least these last couple of games, Oklahoma City, and then this game against Dallas, where, you know, TJD kind of gets played out of the rotation and you have to go small. And if you kind of save it for maybe the end of the second quarter and the end of the fourth quarter, you're not putting too many miles on Dre. And then that's where Kuminga comes in. Kuminga plays the four in that lineup. He's quick enough to guard out to the perimeter. He's not going to, you know, Draymond's going to be playing free safety and taking up the middle. And offensively, you know, it opens him up because all eyes on Steph, all eyes on Dre. Oh, there's an alley-oop to Kuminga because no one is paying attention to Kuminga. And Steph missed on it yesterday. But that play is going to be there. So, no, I liked it. Okay, last thing for the Warriors, and then we'll go quickly talk a little WNBA, because I know you've gained a little bit more knowledge lately about women's basketball and women's college hoop. The start. Now, as fans like us who have seen the apex of professional basketball, and we've also seen, you know, real disappointment of professional basketball, which would have been last year.
Yep.
I don't think either of us came into this year thinking that the Warriors were necessarily a contender, especially in the loaded West. Now, you put the Warriors in the East, and I'm like, they could play with anybody. You know, they're not as good as Boston, probably, but they could play with anybody else in the East.
Yeah.
9-2. I didn't see it coming. I don't imagine you saw it coming, but I guess the question is, and this is kind of what Bill and Jacoby and Kurt Goldsberry talked about today on the Bill Simmons show, which is, do you believe that it's real? Because I don't think everybody believes it's real, because they probably think that Steph and Draymond are on the older end and one of them misses some games and then, you know, the kind of the magic is gone. But as someone who has seen these guys on the court together for as long as you have, what does it feel real, or does it feel a little bit? I don't even know, because it's not like they've had a hard schedule, so they've gone into arenas against good teams and pulled out wins.
It feels real-ish. I guess I'll sort of cop out here. I mean, the difference lately, or at least this season, has been their willingness to challenge threes for me. Like, that's been overall, just they're just playing defense at a much higher level than last season and the season before. I mean, look, they're fourth in a defensive rating right now, right? So
they're second in overall net rating too.
Right. It's so tremendous. Again, 11 games, very small sample size, but this was a team that I remember for the last two seasons was very, very willing to give up a corner three. They love giving up the highest percentage shot on the court, right?
They ran out of gas on the final rotation.
Right. They were almost addicted to this. So it was so bizarre. But now, again, the way that their lineup is constructed, and again, maybe it's just a vibes thing. Is it that simple? I don't know, right? I'm not a huge basketball tactician where I'm like, it's the rotations, it's X, Y, is it the Jerry Stackhouse effect? But look, all I know is when you're playing the Celtics, and obviously they gave up a big quarter to the Celtics in that third, when they basically let them back in the game. Every other game where, their three-point defense was a huge Achilles heel for them the last couple of years, they're at least getting out there, man. They're chasing dudes off the line. They're challenging without fouling, although Steph kind of fouled Quinn Grimes last night.
He did.
On that last three. It just seems there's an effort there that hasn't been there the last couple of years. And again, you're seeing that in the numbers, right? And Kerr made it a point in this offseason saying that, like, look, we need to get back to being a top five defense. During their dynastic run, that's kind of always where they were. And now, again, very, very small sample size. We'll just always use that caveat. But they also have guys who are willing to do it. DeAnthony Melton, good defender, right? Wiggins has somehow resurrected his defensive prowess. Kyle Anderson, when he's out there, good defender. Draymond, obviously one of the best defenders we've ever seen in our life. Steph has just always been a capable defender. So now, Podziemski, on and on down the line, right? You just kind of put all this together and you kind of understand, like, that's, again, last night was a bad offensive game for the Warriors. Like, their bench, which the depth that has been touted this entire year, the depth didn't show up last night. Defensively, when it came down to it, they were pretty damn good.
Yep.
So I think that's what's real. Now, again, as you and I talked about the second score thing, they absolutely have to figure that out. It's they've given up 2 30-point leads so far because they didn't have a second guy who was you could be sure was going to get you a bucket, because when Steph was resting.
And that's going to be the talk if they continue to play this well. Like, what takes them from this to a possible contender? And, we'll have to, I may have to reach out to Sam and Andy to see who's on their list because, they're going to lead that conversation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
it's going to be, I will say, way better team than I thought, at least on paper, the way that they're playing, it's fitting way better. And immediately, like, it's just fitting, like, so quickly. And maybe that has to do with having the, hungry vets who are kind of given up by other teams who, you put them in this Warriors ecosystem and they have a little bit of career, which we've seen in the past. Otto Porter, right? Otto Porter came in and was immediately, like, that's kind of the vibe I get from, like, Melton and Hield and Kyle Anderson. Is like, they're like, they resemble a version of Otto Porter and what he brought to the team.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty, and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
All right. Brian specifically has been leading the charge on the Valkyries corner here. And we've been talking a little bit about women's, you know, during the WNBA playoffs, and now we're talking a little bit college women's hoop. So let's get to our Valks Valley segment here.
Valks Valley.
All right. We'll lead with this. Then I do want to ask you about your, the podcast that, that you're producing. Do you see the video that I sent you of Caitlin Clark playing in a,
the golf tournament?
Pro-Am.
Yeah.
She, like, what I think people, some people realize this, I think. Others may not. Others may be a little late to the game. She's like a version of Tiger Woods, Serena Williams, like from a cultural perspective of like celebrity sports fandom. It is amazing to see. And this is, this woman really, like, if you think about her platform so far, some CBS games in the women's college basketball tournament over the last 3 or 4 years, she's on ESPN playing hoop. It's not like she had this like giant platform where it's like, welcome to Caitlin Clark. Like, she's really built this crazy fan base. And I, like, I don't know. I mean, where does she take it? Like, you know, wherever the WNBA can go in the next few years. Like, did you see this Caitlin Clark thing coming once she left college? And like, where do we go from here with her? Is this going to be like one of the cultural like sports stars of our lifetime?
I think so. I mean, until Juju Watkins comes from USC, I think she's going to be the next one where we're having conversations like this. The thing with Caitlin is just, I mean, when she was playing at Iowa, obviously a massive deal, right? Just the biggest star in the game. Now, did I think it would translate the way that it is translating now that she's in the W? No. Because it's... There are so many W players who, when they were in college, like they were must-see television. And then kind of, I'll take Sabrina Ionescu as an example, right? When she was at Oregon, there was that same pseudo buzz around her, right? Mm-hmm. We're like, oh, you got to watch her play. I loved watching her play at Oregon. Fantastic. Obviously, you know, the tournament, I believe that was her senior year, got canceled and everything else, right? Like, but this Caitlin phenomenon has just been, especially now that, you know, we've been covering the W even closer. We've had Sirit Sohi, who does an incredible job hosting the show, has had all of these incredible people on the show, these brilliant, very smart people who have been covering the W for forever. And the gist of what I understand is just like, it's wild that this is happening. Like, it's, they can try to explain what Caitlin does. It's like, she plays like Steph. She, you know, this, that, and the third, blah, blah, blah. But it's such a combination of things that it makes it almost this, like, this religious experience that you can't fully understand. It's just happening in front of you, and you just have to take it in. And, you know, to Caitlin's credit, you know, she's been able to deal with it because Sirit made the argument a couple of episodes ago that she's right now the most important basketball player on the planet.
Mm.
Right. And like, you know, obviously you think about LeBron, you think of Steph, you think of KD, but all these dudes who are just like at the peak of their powers over in the NBA. But I don't know, man, like the numbers that she's putting up over there, the ratings that she's really helping the W with, and everyone looking again, she was at a golf, this is a golf pro-am, and that video sent me was wild to see just the amount of people who are just following her around trying to get an autograph.
Have you ever been to a pro-am before?
Yeah, it's fun.
It's pretty fun. You know that you see tons of stars come through, like that's kind of the gig, right? I remember gosh, this is a long time ago now. Emmett Smith, my buddy Ed, is his favorite football player of all time. So we kind of followed Emmett. George Lopez was there. So I was kind of chirping at George a little bit, like telling his jokes back to him to see if he would respond. So that's fun. But, you know, you have to kind of, they don't really let you follow people the way that you want. They're pretty strict on like, okay, I think Brady might have been there, but you know, he had like his people that you kind of had to stay away. Like there were people like very close to Caitlin. I was like, man, can we get some bodyguards there? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, it's almost a point where the people who are probably closest to her, I don't know if they realize how famous she is right now. Like it's kind of wild, and it's all justified because you just, again, when you watch the Fever play, you're just glued to watching her hoop, and she's just so freaking good where you understand it. But then again, there's I hate using this word now because it's almost become bastardized, but there's this aura around her that is, again, just completely, in my opinion, unexplainable. Because there's a lot of great basketball players.
Yeah.
Right? But there's something about her specifically where you just watch her hoop and you're hypnotized by it, right? It's in the ilk of a Steph Curry. It's in the ilk of a LeBron, right? Where you just, and obviously they're great at what they do. Caitlin is great at what she does. There's this extra it factor that, again, we can do all the advanced statistics that we want about Caitlin Clark. She just has the star power and the it factor that people would kill for, honestly.
You know, the point that she's the most important basketball player, I was thinking, gosh, is she really? And so I remembered, I think it's earlier this week, there's a photo of her and Tyrese Halliburton,
yep,
like courtside.
I think they're watching a Butler game because her boyfriend is like an assistant coach.
Yeah, he's a coach
over there. Yeah.
And when I saw that photo, I was thinking, yeah, she's a way bigger star than him. Like
I don't think it's close.
Right.
I don't think it's close.
And he's a very famous professional basketball player. So that is interesting. You know what? We're going to end the Valks Valley segment there. Talking about Caitlin Clark for 10 minutes is always fun. Well, let's end it with our Around the NBA segment here. Okay. We have the NBA Cup upon us.
Oh, boy.
NBA Cup. Are we like, okay, let's position it like this. If you are the Warriors, do you want to win the Emirates NBA Cup?
No. I mean, you want to win it to win games. You almost want to win it to where you get to the semifinal and then lose on purpose, because then you have to play an extra game. Yeah. You know what I mean? And like, that's just extra mileage on Steph. That's extra mileage on Draymond.
And they're going to want to win it if they're playing.
Right. So they're going to try. And it's, again, we've mentioned small sample size a bunch on this pod already. There's only been one of these. But when I tell you the amount, our good friend Jeremy Loss, the amount that I make fun of this dude, his Lakers won the midseason tournament last year, the NBA Cup, whatever the hell it's called. It's right now, it's a joke.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? It's a cash grab. I get it. Emirates, I'm sure, is paying a shit ton of money to the NBA for it. But Double G, the Warriors are four. They've won four championships in the last 10 years. What do we care if they are the Emirate NBA Cup champions in Vegas in a couple weeks? Because it so far, by the way, seems cursed.
Yes,
because the Lakers didn't do well last, and you know the Pacers somehow eked their way to the conference finals.
Yeah,
but you know wouldn't have been there if it wasn't for some injuries. So I don't know. I'm out. I'll watch it because we have to, but come on.
and so I see that they're trying to make it more important. These players are trying to promote it. It feels forced. It felt very forced when Draymond reminded people that it wasn't only Clay coming back to chase,
oh,
but that
God,
it was the first game of the NBA Cup. I mean, I think if you're a young team, though, if you're the Cavs, and by the way, when I said Eastern Conference, the Warriors would be behind the Cavs right now, as we saw.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the Cavs, what if you just boat race that whole thing? Like that would probably that they would look at that as this is our stamp on this league. Because you remember that comparing the 2015 Warriors again, the Warriors were just winning all of these games by double digit points and Steph's like not even playing the fourth quarter. And so I almost feel like for the Cavs, it would be something of like it would give them a little bit of oomph to kind of go, oh, we are this good. We actually can do this. But for teams like the Warriors, the Celtics, for OKC should probably try and win this thing for the same reason, right? But for the more veteran teams, it does feel a little bit like extended play for very little reason other than the league, you know, being able to sell more TV rights and more tickets to these games.
If you're the Cavs, I totally understand it because let's just say, what if they just keep winning? What if they're, I'm not going to do, they're what, 12-0 right now, do the math, you know, a couple weeks from now, they're 20-something-0.
I think they play Boston to go 16-0 or something. Like that will be their next really hard.
So let's just say that they're on this streak and they're still undefeated. I would then understand like, oh, we just don't want to lose. And that's fine, right? Like the Warriors in 2016 started off, 24-0 or something like that, right? And as a fan who was watching that, I totally get it. Win every single freaking game. And there's a nice cup at the end, and there's a little cash prize. Everyone gets a little cheese. Fantastic. Again, it's going to take a couple of years for this to, one, I think, catch on, and two, for us to look back on and to be able to properly litigate it, right? Because right now it's all jokes, right? Because the Lakers won it, the Pacers were in the finals, Tyrese Haliburton at that point in time, we were christening this dude as, you know, the next Luka at that point, right? And then all of a sudden he gets hurt, and now we've kind of come back down to earth on Tyrese Haliburton.
Yeah.
And the Lakers too, by the way. So it'll be entertaining. I think it's more of a gambling play, honestly, right? It's just it's something to get they promote all this to get the players excited, right? It's a challenge. I think it's to get the gamblers excited, right? Because you're like gamblers want to bet on tournaments. That's why the NCAA tournament is where it is at, right?
Okay, here's a thought, which is it seems like at least on day one that the basketball was maybe 10% better for some reason.
Okay.
It makes me think like, we've been trying to fix this All-Star game and it comes to Chase this year.
Yep.
Like, excuse me. If you can create something in the midseason and give it a trophy and make people care about it a little bit more, like what if the opener, I mean, you couldn't do this logistically because they like to sell the all, but I was like, what if the opener of the NBA season was like the All-Star game? Like you opened with an All-Star game and like the fans voted in the off season, like at least in the first game of the season, everyone's fresh. No one has played yet. And they're like, okay, we'll have this game and we'll actually play hard because why not? Like, we haven't played basketball. We're just excited to play basketball.
You know why I don't hate that? Is because all of these dudes during the summer go to these like Rico Hines runs and all these runs in New York where like all their private trainers hold these runs with all the guys that they're training. And we're glued to our phones. We're watching these workouts on Instagram. We're like, whoa, Carmelo Anthony's at this workout? That's nuts.
Yeah.
And it would feel like a televised version of that. These open runs where it's just it's all the talent. And honestly, that'd be a great way to, because currently the start of the NBA season is what, 5-6 games into the NFL season where they're swimming upstream.
Yeah, they're right? Second rate
ratings wise.
Yeah,
right. So sure, again, like, because it's always that there's always this pattern of viewing with the NBA, right? Where the first week we're all bought back in. Like, oh man, that first Tuesday, that TNT Tuesday, the champions usually playing. We watch the ring ceremony. And then we're like, oh shit, we have 81 more of these.
Yeah.
And interest naturally wanes. That's why everyone's like, oh, what's happening with the ratings?
Especially if your team is not good. Like, you lose right. it almost immediately.
Like, people, there's still 70 games. Everyone's yeah. going to tune in at, like, on the Christmas Day games and probably in the new year when all of this stuff starts to matter again. So I like where your head's at. Just start off the gate. LeBron, yeah, Steph, sure, teaming
like,
up.
Who's good? How do they care? How do you make it an event? Like, we want to eventize everything, yeah. right? Like, that's how we're doing this thing. So, all right, last thing before you go. Is this blue sky thing going to be a wave, or is this thing going to like falter?
I'm big on blue sky right now. It's I gotta say, it reminds me of, man, early Twitter. Early Twitter Double G was just,
it's awesome.
We had no idea what we were doing. You're just putting random thoughts out into the world. You're like, I'm going to the gym, right? It was that. Remember when people used to make fun of what Twitter was, where you're just telling people what you were doing. And then it eventually became this hub of where we can got a lot of our information, especially in sports, right? What we consume. And it was this, the first early years of Twitter were brilliant, I gotta say. And I think it, I don't know about you, I feel like it made me a more informed sports fan
mm-hmm.
because you're just getting different perspectives, right?
Yeah.
You think about the sport that you watch and the teams that you watch in this individual way. And then it doesn't matter if they're, you know, they were these established writers like a Mark Stein or a Howard Beck putting their thoughts out there, or like Warriors World, mm-hmm. right? Where you're just like this community, we're like, oh yeah, there's all these people who love the same thing that I love,
yeah.
but then think about it in a different way that it was just this beautiful thing. Now, blue sky, I feel those vibes. I'm not mm-hmm. saying it's going to be there. The user base isn't quite there yet, but I'll say this without trying to get too controversial here. Within the past week and a half, a lot of people have been moving over there for various reasons that, you know, and it's been fun. Honestly, it's been fun again, knowing that like if I post something, there's not going to be a bot offering me or saying one racist things
yeah.
to offering me favors that I don't quite need or, you know, jobs that don't quite exist. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm in, I'm a halfway in where I'm
experimenting with the fight game stuff over there. I don't think they're ready for the numbers though, because I mm-hmm. checked out some of their tabs. Like I did some searches. So I searched for boxing. If you search for boxing on Twitter, probably the first 10 or 15 things that show up are going to be related to Mike Tyson and Logan Paul. Like that's the big event that's coming this
big
weekend.
Event, yeah.
I'm sorry, not Jake Paul, not Logan Paul. On Blue Sky, it was like some random anime stuff. I was like, how does this relate to boxing in any way? So for one, and then second, just that For You tab, their version of the For You tab. All they showed me was content from people that I had already followed just recently mm-hmm. on the app. So it's like
yeah.
stuff like that where I'm like, okay, they're not ready for prime time. They should have been anticipating all of this traffic. Like this was their big moment. I hope that they didn't miss it. I hope that their engineers are working overtime to kind of fix some of this stuff because people are going to want an option. And especially if X moves towards more kind of merging with that Truth Social thing, then more people will leave because, you know, some people will stay, but others will leave. So I just want Blue Sky to be ready. I don't think Threads is it. I don't like my feed in Threads. It's wacky and random and it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. So. I like the how it's integrated with Instagram, right?
Yes. But yes, that part is good.
There are still some things that, from a timeline perspective, it's not the experience that I'm looking for yet. Blue Sky is more of it's also more of that OG Twitter experience where it's chronological.
Yeah.
Right. So it's just what people have posted recently. And that's what I think made original Twitter so engaging was just that I didn't have to cycle through tweets from 6 hours ago to get to your thoughts
right.
on what the Warriors game right now. You know what I mean? So
the refresh, like back in the day, we're talking like early 2010s, Mm-hmm. Just wanting to refresh Twitter was like, oh, I'm caught up on everything. Gosh, where's the new tweets? This is crazy.
I was pulling that. I was refreshing, pulling down to refresh like a maniac.
All right. Thank you for doing this. I really appreciate it. Tell the people some of the pods that you're working on with The Ringer. And also, this isn't basketball related, but your wrestling show just celebrated the 100th episode. So congratulations on
that. No, thank you so much, man. Yeah, I guess I'll start there. Ringer Wrestling Show. We've got the Masked Man Show on there with David Shoemaker and Kaz, Mondays and Thursdays. You can find me on there. Ringer Wrestling Worldwide every Tuesday. With myself, Cal Davenport, and Brian H. Waters. As Double G said, we celebrated our 100th episode today, actually, which was surreal to even think about, but it was fun. It was a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun, and we hope to do 100 more. And if you're an NBA junkie, we're doing more stuff over there as well at The Ringer. We're your NBA show, group chat, Mondays and Thursdays, real ones, Tuesdays, Fridays, and Mismatch, and Off Guard with Austin Rivers as well is our NBA slate. And so check us out whenever you're not listening to the Death Line up here. So,
and then the WNBA show, which is
WNBA show. That's right. Wednesdays, every Wednesday is the WNBA show. And Sierra's doing a phenomenal job with it. She crushed it. Absolutely amazing job during the playoffs and the finals run. And we're for all you Valkyrie fans out there, you know, we're prepping for draft lottery. Obviously, that's the fifth pick for the Valkyrie, but also the expansion draft's coming up. So Sierra's gonna have you covered,
dude. And
she's great. Ready.
I'm a little overloaded with pods right now, and I'm trying to figure out how to. You know, you have your schedule of pods that you listen to all the time, and you know, I prioritize like Warriors Plus Minus, Wrestling Observer Radio, Bill Simmons Show. Like those are like the three. If those are up, like I'm listening to those first, no matter what. And then you have your secondaries. But man, like with the WNBA pods, with just new stuff that you find, I'm like, I think I'm overloaded. I need to figure out like a better system of listening. I think
it's a lot of content. It's a lot of content. Also, if you're so inclined, go check us out on Ringer NBA YouTube. Putting full pods up there now.
Yeah, you guys have really dug into the YouTube thing. I know my favorite fantasy football show is like doing live hits and stuff now for, was it like Monday night or Tuesday night they go live?
Oh, our fantasy football
show. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. The Danny's and Craig. Yeah, they do. They go live every, I forgot what day, but they do go live. They're like four times a week now.
Yeah,
those
guys.
Those guys are working. So
it's crazy.
If you need help with your fantasy team, like I do, desperately.
Dude, I'm in first place. This is the first year I listened to them. I followed their advice of Jaden Daniels. And I'm playing in one of those what do you call the leagues where you can actually super flex. So I drafted Josh Allen and Jaden Daniels on the same team, and I super flexed Jaden Daniels. I'm outscoring every other team in that league by an average of like 30 points a game. Like it's incredible. Like it's the best fantasy football team I think I've ever had, but it is a super flex league, so there's little tricks there. But in my home league, the one that I've had since like 1995, the one that Brian and JJ are in, I have Daniels in that league too, and I can't even like I'm interchanging him with my other quarterback, but just the fact that their advice on him so early just paid off for me in major ways. So I'm having two successful fantasy football seasons.
I'm sure I'll pass that along. Those guys are the best. They're hilarious, but also just know what the hell they're doing.
It's incredible. All right, Ben Cruz, thank you for jumping in and saving us this week. So check Ben out. So Cruz with a K for control on whatever Blue Skies thing is. Like
Blue Sky, Twitter, Instagram, Threads, all that good stuff. And at Ringer Wrestling and at Ringer NBA. Go check us out.
All right. Thanks to Ben. I'm Double G. We'll see you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty, and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at tanger.com.